She put the hammer over her shoulder, balancing its weight with one arm, and turned to me. She looked ferocious, so armed and armored, and the heavy black stain around her eyes didn't do anything to soften the image. Ferocious? Hell. She looked competent and dangerous. Everyone just stared at her. She arched a golden eyebrow. "I make all of my husband's armor," she said calmly, "as well as his spare weaponry, by hand." "Huh," I said. No wonder she was buff. "You know how to fight, too?" She looked at me as though I was a dim-witted child. "My husband didn't become a master swordsman by osmosis. He works hard at it. Who did you suppose he's practiced against for the last 20 years? Her eyes smoldered again, a direct challenge to me. "These creatures have taken my Molly, and I will not remain here while she is in danger." "Ma'am," Murphy said quietly, "practice is very different from the real thing." Charity nodded. "This won't be my first fight." Murphy frowned for a moment, and then turned a troubled glance to me. I glanced at Thomas, who was facing away, a little apart from the rest of us, staying out of the decision-making process. Charity stood there with that war hammer over one shoulder, her weight planted, her eyes determined. "Hell's bells," I sighed. "Okay, John Henry, you're on the team." I waved a hand and went back to the briefing. "Fairies hate and fear the touch of iron, and that includes steel. It burns them and neutralizes their magic. There are extra weapons in the tub, as well as additional coats of mail," Charity offered, "though they might not fit you terribly well, Lieutenant Murphy." Charity had thought ahead. I was glad one of us had. "Mail coat is just a thing for discouraging nasty fairy beasties with claws." Murphy looked skeptical. "I don't want to break up the Battle of Hastings dress theme, Harry, but I find guns generally more useful than swords. Are you serious about this?" "You might not be able to rely on your guns," I told her. "Reality doesn't work the same way in the never-never, and it doesn't always warn you when it's changing the rules. It's common to find areas of fairy where gunpowder is non-combustible." "You're kidding," she said. "Nope, get some steel on you. There's not a thing the fairies can do about that. It's the biggest edge mortals have on them." "The only edge," Charity corrected. She passed me a sleeveless mail shirt, probably the only one that would fit me. I dumped my leather duster, armored myself, and then put the duster back on over the mail. Murphy shook her head, then she and Thomas collected mail and weaponry of their own. "Couple more things," I said. "Once we're inside, don't eat or drink anything. Don't accept any gifts or any offers from a fairy interested in making a deal. You don't want to wind up owing favors to one of the she, believe you me." I frowned, thinking. Then I took a deep breath and said, "One thing more. Each of us must do everything possible to control our fear." Murphy frowned at me. "What do you mean?" "We can't afford to carry in too much fear with us. The fetches feed on it. It makes them stronger. If we go in there without keeping our fear under control, they'll sense a meal coming. We're all afraid, but we can't let it control our thoughts, actions, or decisions. Try to keep your breathing steady and remain as calm as you can." Murphy nodded, frowning faintly. "All right, then. Everyone hat up and sing out when you're good to go."